Austin, let's start with the capital gains tax that majority Democrats passed in the final hours of the session. What happens next with that legislation?
So, Kirsten, up next for that one is the governor will sign it into law. We don't know exactly when that will happen, but sooner than later. And then it is almost certain to be challenged in court as unconstitutional. And what will be interesting is to see where that goes. Is the capital gains tax upheld as constitutional and as an excise tax, as the supporters say it is? Or does the court find that it's an income tax, as opponents say? And then if it's an income tax, does the court find that it's constitutional or unconstitutional? You know, we have court history that says a graduated income tax is not constitutional in this state. So there's some thought that maybe the court would revisit that. So that's what happens next. I'll just note that this is a 7% tax aimed at profits over $250,000 in a year from the sale of such things as stocks and bonds. Supporters say it's really aimed at the wealthiest Washingtonians. Opponents say it's sort of the camel's nose under the tent in terms of perhaps getting to a graduated income tax down the road.
All right. Thanks for that visual. That's very descriptive. How about police reform and accountability measures? What do they entail and when are they expected to take effect?
So there are a number of bills on this topic. They range from making it easier to decertify a police officer for misconduct to collecting data and making that publicly available on use of force, requiring police officers to intervene if they witness a fellow officer using excessive force, setting up a new office to independently investigate police deadly force cases, and also changing the tactics that police use day-to-day on the job, for instance, banning chokeholds and neckholds. This isn't going to happen quickly, and what the sponsors said is that this is all about the implementation. They can write the laws, but they said the next step is ensuring that these laws are implemented and that there's oversight to ensure that they're implemented properly. You know, we saw with 940, Kirsten, that that wasn't always the case with the supposedly independent investigations, that the letter of the law wasn't always followed. So when we talked to the sponsors this week, they were saying it really is going to be a lot of work is yet to be done. This was a big lift, historic in nature, a lot of controversy about some of these proposals, but really now it's going to be months of implementation in the months ahead.
And when you say 940, you mean Initiative 940 that passed, and the folks who supported that measure are saying that the laws that were passed in this session will help really take that to the next level.
Correct. And that was the initiative that did a lot of things, including change the state's threshold for what is lawful use of deadly force.
All right. Well, let's also talk about the action that lawmakers took to address the Washington Supreme Court decision that invalidated the state's simple drug possession law.
Yeah, that was the Blake decision, and it was kind of a surprise that the court tossed out the state's simple drug possession law, the issue being that the law didn't contemplate a person's intent to have the drugs on them. And so potentially you could be arrested and charged and convicted of possession of drugs even if you didn't have the intent to have them on your person or in your vehicle. So the court said that was problematic. The simple fix would have been to just rewrite the law and include the intent piece. But Democrats, majority Democrats, viewed this as an opportunity to step back from the so-called war on crime and to rethink how we deal with people who are using drugs and to think of it more as a public health issue than a criminal justice issue. And so to that end, what they did is a temporary fix for the next couple of years that makes simple possession a misdemeanor, and that with a tremendous focus not on arresting and prosecuting people, but on moving them into treatment. There is about $100 million or $90 million to expand access to substance use treatment. And then in the meantime, an advisory committee is going to work to develop a longer-term solution with a report due by December of 2022. I'll note that what happens in a couple of years is that the misdemeanor provision expires. So at that point, it wouldn't be illegal to have drugs. So there will be some impetus to figure out next steps. There are those who think it shouldn't be, that we should have lawful, allowable limits on what people can have, possess. So a lot of discussion and conversation yet to be done, but this fix is in place, if you will, I use that word loosely, for the next 2 years.
All right. Finally, Austin, looking back on all your coverage, this session was definitely one for the history books.
It was. If you think the volume of bills was down because of the nature of the remote session, but if you think about the significance of the bills in my 17 years covering the legislature, this was a tremendously significant legislative session, agree or disagree with the policies. And then, as I note, it was a remote session. unusual, unprecedented, and then the security around the beginning of the session, at least, but also still the fact there's a fence around the Capitol, which, by the way, will come down next month, really made for just such an unusual, historic, and unprecedented year.
All right, Austin, thank you so much.
You're welcome.